You're listening to an FX PhD podcast from fxphd.com.
Hi, and welcome to this week's FX PhD OD. Back after my ski trip. Mike, how's it going, my friend? How's things down under?
Good. Now, I should point out we did actually record last week, but because of, celestial navigation problems in my my technical configurations, basically you sounded quite good, but my voice was completely breaking up on the recording. So we're not even using Skype anymore for those that have been tracking our technical woes, are we, John?
No, we're trying this with iChat. There's a little bit of crosstalk that we're hearing when we're done recording. We'll have to see how it sounds. But actually, Mike, I think your voice clarity is much better now using iChat.
I would love to have an alternative to Skype.
So much so. But yeah, so we did try and record something last week, but it didn't work out. And then by the end of the week, actually, I was pointing out in the forums that you did try to call me the next night, but I was already maybe two sheets to the wind, as they say at a Mexican restaurant, already having consumed.
You what?
Two sheets to the wind.
What does that mean?
I think that's the right phrase.
Okay.
Two sheets to the wind. That means I'd been drinking. I'm doing the drinky drink. I'm doing the drinky drink sign right now.
So by two sheets to the wind, you mean completely pissed out of your face?
Yes, completely pissed out of my face, as you'd say down there.
Got it.
As you say.
Got it.
So clear. How was last week?
Well, last week's podcast was terrific, and I thought it was highly entertaining. There was pathos, you know, an underlying sense of, I don't know, sort of juxtaposition of opposing, yet interestingly, confronting ideas. And I thought that the subtext and the underlying metaphors were particularly witty. So I'm sort of sorry we missed that one.
Yes, I just remember enjoying a martini during it, which was a first for for a podcast, but yes. So you had just come back, actually.
So you're expecting people to believe that was the first time you've drunk during an FX PhD podcast? I mean, really, come on.
Need-to-know basis, yes.
Okay.
Anyway, changing the subject, you'd actually come back from a shoot, actually, I think early in the last week, didn't you? On Monday, didn't you have
I
a
had, I think, just finished shooting thousands of tourists effectively running across the center of Australia for our upcoming After Effects course. And I think also, if I recall correctly, I pointed out what an incredibly relaxed and friendly shoot that was, because we now have Matt Graham on our team. Matt's joined us as a producer, and Matt, you know, basically made my life completely blissful by organizing the entire shoot, you know, doing casting, just... Oh, we're so glad to have him here at the Tech Penthouse.
Yeah, stuff that you had been doing actually yourself beforehand, so that you had been handling all that stuff. Not on I Love Sarah Jane. Well, actually, maybe some on I Love Sarah Jane, but on all the FX PhD shoots, you'd been organizing that, which takes an extremely large amount of time to organize things like that. Call sheets, like you say, talent, everything. It's just like the same feeling of bliss I have had with Mark joining out and helping me here in Chicago as well. Kind of like, God, why didn't I do this months ago?
Yeah. Well, plus you're about to move, right?
Yes. Yes. Actually, you're hitting the ground running back here. I actually posted a picture, an exciting picture of the lobby to our new FX PhD Chicago offices that we'll be moving to. And it's going to be great, because what it is... It's actually, it's some friends that I used to work with at Avenue Edit back in the day, and they have left Avenue Edit and will be forming an editorial company here in Chicago, just a tiny, small facility, not a giant, humongous, multifaceted post facility, at least starting out, I should say. And that's actually, I guess, really all I can say about it at this point in time without divulging more than I'm supposed to at that point. But the idea is I'm going to be hooked up with them. It's going to be great from my standpoint, I think, Mike, because they're going to be an Avid-based facility. And we've both worked, obviously, with Avids in the past, but have kind of gravitated in large part to using Final Cut Pro and so forth for a lot of our editing. Not to say that we don't get some Avid stuff to deal with over time, but they'll have an Avid system, centralized storage, so we'll be able to actually also take a look at that and a lot of the issues, say, in finishing with Red and so forth in Avid. So I think it's going to add another nice perspective to the mix at FX PhD. And from my standpoint, it's going to be great, because I'm going to be doing actual production again, which I have missed. And the reason I'll be doing that, too, is to try and get stuff for FX PhD, of course. It's kind of the thing that Mike and I both really feel strongly with the idea of real production workflow type stuff, real world everyday example type stuff. And it's, you know, it's been a while since I've been consistently involved in a post house, so this will be good to kind of get back into that flow. And I think that's the thing that really helps set FXPHD apart, the fact that, you know, we're doing our day jobs, or a large part of our job is actually doing real production as opposed to just developing training material.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think the stuff that you're going to be doing, and look, I mean, generally we're a Final Cut house, let's not deny it, right? But having said that, we're big supporters of Avid. We like working with Avid. We've done a lot of work with Avid here with Red Workflow. And it's sort of a shame. We tried doing some Avid training courses, and Avid basically came back. Look, and I've got very, very good friends that I respect enormously at Avid, right? Huge friends, good personal friends. They came back with, well, we're kind of doing our own thing, so we don't kind of want to sort of necessarily, you know, work with you guys on anything. No offense. And we were like, oh, no offense taken. But yeah, if it looks like we're shutting out Avid, it's not. It's just that Avid decided to decline to get involved with us, and that's totally cool. And they have been doing good things on their site, and you know, more power to them. But
I think there was that, you'd remember when Avid came out in earlier in the year and said they were going to be at NAB, and I think a lot of people, and my favorite Jeff Huser phrase, holy overreaction Batman, that, you know, saying Avid's dead, they're not around, they're avoiding NAB. And I don't think that's the case, actually. I know they certainly have issues in the market, and Final Cut has spurred a lot of that. But man, in commercial post houses, and especially with ad agencies and a lot of the larger editorial houses here in the States, I don't know what it's like down there, but they're still very heavily Avid based, especially when it comes to shared workflow stuff like Unity. Is it the same down there where the creative places are still pretty much Avid, or are you seeing a change?
I mean, the Avid is very popular in two places. One is anywhere that is like a broadcast environment that has a workflow that starts with offline and goes to online all through Unity. And as you say, the second one is sort of more senior editors that grew up on Avid that just like Avid full stop and can charge anything they want and, you know, can use any gear they want, and it's all about the editor and not about what gear they're on. So, yeah, I mean, look, you know, Avid has some real strengths, and we just don't see that. I think the worst thing in the world would be for either Avid or Apple's Final Cut to leave the game. Do you know what I mean?
Like,
there's just nothing worse than ending up with just one option. And I say that, you know, because while they would probably both love to have 100% market share, while you have some competition, it's healthy for improving, and you know, everyone builds up on that basis. And the whole kind of idea of being religiously fervent to something like that, I think, is so outdated. It's just, you know.
I agree. And plus with that, the price change is interesting as well. I'm not sure it makes,
We get the same thing about being agnostic with us. Like, people say, I don't want to post something on FXPHD commenting on something else on another site because maybe you guys will get offended. And like, well, no, it's a big internet. We're totally happy to have more than just us in the game. Not that I, you know, want to lose a whole lot of people to some rival or anything, but, you know, it's helpful to have more than one person in any game. And I certainly adopt best practice, and I'm sure those companies do, you know, and best practice being observing the best practices of other companies and trying to adopt them as your own, not in a nasty stealing their thunder kind of way, but just, you know, literally everybody lifting their game. Why, John, I believe that we would still be in the Dark Ages without such a philosophy.
I think so, too. No, it's exactly right. I think that, actually, I've talked to several people at the manufacturers, actually, and they'll admit, even amongst, you know, privately at least, that they are challenged by having competition. I think that's where you get that real drive to innovate and do something different, as opposed to just resting on your laurels and being the only game in town. It's certainly healthy.
Well, I mean, you look at someone like a Pixar or something. Look how much those guys share at SidGraph and stuff, and you realize that, you know, it's not like you're only going to see one Pixar film a year, so they don't mind if there is more people doing animated films, as long as they're, you know, it's all contributing to the greater good.
And there's also a cross-pollination between software engineers.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, you know that, you know, people at Apple came from Discrete and vice versa, and Nuke and so forth. It all kind of goes around. It's a very, it's a small family. It's a...
It is really small, isn't it? Yeah. And I think the other thing that I was talking about last week, which we, you know, lost in the void of you'll never hear it category, was the background fundamentals we did with the guys at Animal Logic over the showreel stuff, which has now obviously gone out and people should have seen. And I just wanted to thank Rowan again for giving us permission to use that material. If you haven't seen that ever, Background Fundamentals, the idea is we took a showreel and cut a completely different showreel, the same material, and then offered them both up. But with the pretext that neither showreel was bad, we weren't trying to say Rowan's reel was bad and this is better, or, you know, we're just trying to say, here are a whole lot of things you could do in a showreel. Let's put them, you know, one has a countdown, one doesn't. One has text over it, one doesn't. One just has a, is really short, one's long, you know, what, and then we just asked the recruiters to get their opinions as to what made for a good reel and what they liked or disliked about either reel. And I was actually quite surprised by some of the things that they came up with. I don't know if you've had a chance to see it, John, but it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, no, I haven't. I actually, my download speeds at the ski chalet were...
Ski lodge were pretty bad, yeah. One of the things that I discussed last week that I'd like to reiterate this week, because we did lose it, is that when we finished recording that, we actually went off mic and we started discussing a couple of things, and the guys asked me to mention these, so I will. One of them is that, and I think it's pretty interesting, that you know how you often see references or referees, you know, someone submits a job and they'll have a couple of pages of, you know, this guy was a great guy, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yes, reference, okay. Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, I assume they're called the same thing in the US. Well, they were saying, firstly, that was interesting, most HR departments do not want to issue those because there's all sorts of weird litigation reasons why endorsing someone's a dodgy thing for them. But secondly, they all want to see at least that you've got them, though they then completely discount them. Like, if you've not got any, they think it's odd. But, you know, anyone, they think, can at least find three people that'll write something vaguely nice about them. But they do check references. But one of the main ways they check references in a big company is just to go, well, hey, this Montgomery guy used to work at Avenue Edit. Well, we have other people here that worked at Avenue Edit, and they wander up and talk to them and say, hey, when you were at Avenue, what was that John Montgomery guy like? And so there isn't a whole kind of network because it is such a small industry, and just goes to reinforcing that whole idea. And they were saying themselves that that they do an enormous amount of sort of checking, just, you know, confidence checking, even when somebody's got to the final position for being offered a job.
Yeah, that really is true. We talked about the small market of software developers, but that's really true in post, especially, you know, even here in Chicago, for instance, which is, what, the third largest market in the States, I guess. But just within that market, you never know who you'll be working for in the future, you know? It's just like, along with the whole reference thing, it's just, since everyone's moving around, you never want to really piss anyone off either. You know, you always want to leave a job on good terms, I would think. On your terms, but on good terms with that company, because you never know when you might end up actually working with that person, or, as Mike said, might actually, that other person's working with someone, a new company that might, you know, divulge what an ass you were when you actually left, when you left your previous company, right? So that also just goes to the idea of conducting yourself in a professional manner, and whenever possible, trying to leave on good terms and treat everyone squarely. It may be really comfortable to lash out, you know, so say you're leaving a job and you're really unhappy about it. It might be really good to get some of those things off your chest from a personal, selfish standpoint, but that's, I really have the opinion that's not going to serve you very well in the long run. And I know
it's
specific
like win the battle,
examples.
Lose the war.
Yeah, exactly. And I definitely know some people who've been burned by that in the past. So another kind of useful tip when you're, you know, switching jobs or moving around in the industry. It's a very small industry, and chances are you're going to be working with someone you worked with again.
I must admit, the whole exit interview I find to be a really interesting kind of thing. You know, the whole idea of somebody's leaving, so I'm going to interview them, and you really want to vent when you're leaving. Like, if only you hadn't been such bastards, I wouldn't be leaving. And it's so, as you say, like momentarily satisfying and career destroying to lash out.
Yeah, it's kind of like something to get off your chest to make you feel better in some ways, because, I mean, if there's a way to mention, I mean, actually, you know what, I brought up some things, and after the fact, maybe a couple months later, I brought up some stuff with the owner of Avenue Edit, Rick, in a more comfortable environment that I thought might actually be useful for him, you know, as to other people in the company being constructive and saying, hey, you know, have you thought about this? But yeah, at the time I just kind of kept my mouth shut. And I mean, the people are going to obviously know that you're either one going to have a better opportunity somewhere else or be upset about something. If everything was happy and perfect, you wouldn't be leaving, right? I mean, it's just highly unlikely you'd be doing that, but anyway, it is. I didn't have an exit interview at Avenue. We had
Not
a
really?
Big exit party, but He wasn't
they
very
had a
much.
Party when you left to get rid of you?
Yes, they did, actually.
They were like,
I wasn't leaving. Invited.
Woo, party in the streets, yeah. Finally, ding dong, the witch is dead. Oh, God. Finally, we can have people sitting on seats rather than kneeling in front of the flame. Oh, thank the Lord for that.
I can't believe you know that about me.
What do you mean? Everybody knows that about you. There's nobody that's ever met you that doesn't know that about you.
Sometimes.
The praying at the altar of flame.
Yeah, sometimes I have this habit when I come up and someone asks a question at the flame, I come up and instead of actually taking their seat as a sign of, you know, I don't want to take their seat, right? I don't want to push them out of their seat and push them out of the way.
You are so lying. That is not why you do it. I've walked into rooms and there's been no one in the room and you've been kneeling in front of the flame. Yeah, that's not so true.
It's so not true.
We all do weird things, right? Let's not get into my dance of joy at the end of
Mike
jobs.
Mike doesn't
or
know
the,
it, but I've now muted him from the recording. Actually,
you're muting the gay leprechaun dance reference.
That will be edited.
Yeah.
Anyway,
as if.
And being chastised for being helpful by kneeling in front of the flame.
I didn't chastise you. I just thought it was funny. I think it's endearing. I think that praying at the altar of flame is something that would endear you, especially to Autodesk.
The bottom line is that sometimes in Work on the Flame, yes, I'm not sitting in the chair. I will go up to it and I will kneel on the ground and do something really quick with it. So just as a means of explanation is what we're talking about here. So maybe I will film a reenactment of said
Yeah, right. That's going to happen. What's that? Oh, I think it's hell freezing over. Oh, really? Fancy a ski? Anyway, what else is going on? When are we going to announce?
We're going
really
to...
close, right? We're under a week from D-Day.
Yes, we are. And March 31st, at least, as I say, stateside. In other words, in the morning when I wake up.
That would be our April 1st. No.
Yeah, that would be it. Yeah. Yeah, you'll get up in the morning, I guess, there on April 1st and see the new courses at FXPhD. And I'm pretty much thinking we'll have confirmation on all of them. Who knows? We might have a couple more after that point. But the idea is we'll announce all the courses like we have in the past on that day. Actually open up registration on that day as well. So we'll be able to register for the courses. And, of course, in our, what is it? Quad annual, our four-time-a-year announcement of auto renewals. Those of you who are current members of FXPhD, when you sign up by the default, auto renewal is turned on so that you'll be auto renewed automatically for the April 08 term. But if you don't want to be auto renewed, that's really easy to do. You just basically go to the user control panel in the forums and go down and hit edit options. And you'll have, I think, the third item on the page is auto-renewal on or off. So you can turn that off if you wish, and then just go ahead and sign up manually on the site as you would ordinarily. A lot of people do that. That's a good way of kind of changing the credit card data that you have on file. So your credit card has expired. Maybe you don't want to, you know, have something auto-renewed immediately. You want to wait a week or something like that. That's fine, too. But our auto renewals will actually be done the week following, which would be, I guess, then what, April 7th, right? 1 week later.
Yes. Yeah. I will look at a calendar to confirm that that comment. But
so
April,
if you
yes, April 7th. That's correct. Which happens to be Tim Davies' birthday, and 3 days after Liz Litchfield's birthday, and 2 days before my aunt's birthday. There you go.
Mike is checking his iCal, I believe. So
it's
for those of you...
It's also 3 days before I drive across the Nevada desert into Vegas,
right.
Baby.
Vegas. So those of you who have auto-renewal turned on will, during the week of April 7th, get your memberships bumped up, and then at which point you'll be able to see all the forums and so forth that are associated with the April 08 term. Maybe I keep calling it April 7th, but April 08 term. And then the next week ends up being the first week of classes, I think, right?
Okay, so on the board I have... No, on the 7th is O week.
Yes, O week.
On the 14th is the first week of classes.
Yeah, the bottom
line... I have that on my board because it's burnt in my skull.
Yeah, the bottom line is that if those of you have auto-renewal turned on, don't worry if you don't have auto-renew turned on the 7th or even the 8th. We'll get to you by the middle to the end of the week, and you'll have plenty of time to watch all the preview classes. Because again, like every other term that we have at PhD, you get the first 2 weeks to lock in your courses, so you get a preview of all of them.
You know, since you've been on holidays, you're speaking slower and a more mellow. Have you noticed that? You haven't noticed that? I'm noticing that.
Anyway, really?
Sorry. Yeah, I'm interrupting you, but there you go. Was there anything else you want to add on that? I want to add a couple of other quick things before we run out of time.
I don't know, but you seem like you're speaking really quickly.
Yeah, it's because you're all like relaxed and chilled. I'm going to sit in the ski lodge with the fire and the thing. And the... Yeah, right. Hey, we're going to put out a really good story on FX Guide this week on 3D stereoscopic vision. So check that out. It's going to happen sometime this week.
It's a really great in-depth article that Mike has done, once again, like the other Art of.
I have this new theory that I wanted to float, which is just a theory, right? Well, actually, I have two. One is that I reckon we should do some kind of master series, like, I don't know, masters of their craft, like an art of, but aimed at individuals. Do you know what I mean? Like you get really, really top people in the field and do a kind of their career profile. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, but I have to come up with a good name of it. I think masters of the craft.
Not masters of the domain.
See, now that's why I didn't say that, because of the weird Seinfeld-esque references that you were going to come up with. I knew that that would be the case. But, yes. But, you know, people like Price Petrel and John Knoll and just
Dennis
a bunch of people like that. Yeah, I'd like to do a kind of in-depth on them. So that would be something cool to do. And the other thing I was going to say is we're toying with a couple, like a new podcast, which we're going to put out. I'm going to give you a pilot of this week, John, and then depending on what you and Jeff say, we'll thumbs up or thumbs down on it. But we're going to produce that out of the Sydney office, which should be good. So I don't know how that works with RSS feeds and stuff, but we'll work all that out, and I'll tell you more about that next week.
Yes. Well, one of our things is we're talking about disseminating some information that I think, you know, would be best to submit only to members of FX PhD. Kind of like that idea of when you join FX PhD that you get that exclusive access to that, and versus just making it available to everyone, which I think would be good. A nice little bonus at PhD.
Yeah, I'm not sold on that yet. I think there's in-depth is PhD, but we've never restricted the podcast to just PhD people. I don't know. We'll talk about it.
Because I'd hate the idea of, I like the idea of if we kind of have a thing where for PhD members, you get kind of the latest and greatest information, which is just kind of a value add to that.
We can work out whether we, which way we go. That's the sort of things that happen at the end of the podcast, right? We actually discuss things we haven't decided yet. Yes. So anyway, there was something else that we were going to allude to, but I've completely spaced on that, whatever that is.
Yeah, what was that?
So in Vegas, right? Are we going to do the Tuesday night bar camp?
I think Tuesday night there's something going on, actually, already.
Is it?
I was thinking Monday night might be a better night for it.
Okay. Monday night bar camp. We should work that out this week and post something about it.
Yeah, definitely. Because isn't there a red thing on Tuesday night?
Oh, is that Tuesday night? Yeah, I'm speaking.
And then the Final Cut Tuesday Pro night. Meetup is Wednesday. And I think also Wednesday is kind of like everyone's gone by. A lot of people just end up coming by for, you know, Monday or Tuesday even. So anyway, we'll figure that out. We'll get that, our I's dotted and our T's crossed.
Well, let's say it's Monday night. You guys have to turn up because we're providing the beer for free. This is the basic principle of this party, right? That we, I mean, when I say beer for free, like it's a, you know, we're also going to record a podcast that night and have a sensible discussion and stuff. But
yes, you bring the voice, we'll bring the beer.
Excellent. Oh, God, man.
And we'll be posting details about that. We won't know exactly. It'll be at the Wynn Hotel in Las Vegas, obviously. but we don't know the actual room number and everything yet, so we'll have to post that over the weekend before NAB. So we'll send out an email to everybody.
I really enjoyed bar camp last year. It was a really good mix of people. Then we had a live recording done, you know, for a round table of what people had seen, and we kept on swapping people in and out of the seat.
It wasn't really live.
Well, but it was live in front of an audience, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
It wasn't live onto the net, but it was live, and it was much more alive than this, for example.
Yes. Yeah. The mark is standing here watching. Jimmy doesn't
Mark
stand and watch you.
No, Jimmy has a mild look of complete disinterest when I talk to you and cackle away on the call. He's like, oh, bloody hell. And now Matt's holding a Smurf thing and just completely ignoring me as well. So I have a very passive audience here at the Tech Penthouse.
Yes, very much. All right. Well, I think I'm good for this week. Again, next week we'll be talking a lot more about the brilliant new courses that we have and looking forward to spilling the full beans in addition to the leaks that we've been giving here the last several weeks. I know that people have been listening and looking forward to those each week.
Should we do another leak for this week? Leak of the week?
Yeah, leak of the week for those of you who've made it this far in the podcast.
So Victor is back, and Victor's going to be doing something that isn't actually PF Track. So there you go, leak of the week. But he's not doing Flame either.
And not Flame either, that's what I was going to say.
No, 3D tracking, not PF Track. And yes, and I think I'm going to be voice of Victor again. But you did such a good job when you were voice of Victor that I may have been usurped. He may just now request you over me.
Yes, sir. Actually, so yeah, Victor is actually going to be speaking at the Autodesk booth. He's going to be giving a presentation on the show floor at NAB,
yeah, cool.
Which is pretty cool. So I was telling Victor that pretty soon he'll be able to be his own voice for FXPhD.
Yeah, I love Victor.
So it's really, it's great. But anyway, whoever does the, I think you did a great job. I'm happy to help out. It might be confusing. Maybe we could switch it up week to week.
I actually quite like doing it because I just love, you know,
I like it because I would like to learn a new application by doing it.
Yeah, totally.
So, anyway, looking forward to that next term.
I just want to say I'm so glad you're back. I'm sorry that that means that you're no longer on holiday. But from my personal point of view, it's nice to have you back, Mr. Montgomery.
Yes, and it's nice, good to be back. Though it was also nice. I did ping Mike on iChat once last week. Just to say, hey,
I will just point out that one of the other things we missed last week was me skiting over the fact that I've actually now surpassed John in the FXPhD.
Damn, almost made it.
Almost made it to the end without mentioning it. I was waiting for the last dying breath. You guys, do they see this number? I don't know if anyone else sees this number.
They do, because actually I learned that I crossed over 2,000 posts by someone pointing it out to me, because never mind.
Just, anyway, we post messages in the forums, right? And then it's as you do, and then it says beside you how many times you've posted, right? And last time I checked, which you know hasn't been for a minute or two, I was like 2,429.
Okay, am I above 2,400?
Are you above 2,400? Now, see, it's so hard to find any posts that you've actually posted to.
I did actually. Even today, I didn't. I've been catching up on emails for.
I found you.
I just think that I do find it amusing that Mike pays attention to the post number, because honestly, I don't look at them. I mean, it's
2,410,
great, I think.
2,410, 19 behind. Now, the reason I point this out, right, is because several terms ago, I made a concerted effort to try and post more in the forums. And you just forgot that I'd said it. You were like, I don't care.
I don't.
I spent 6 months working on it, and then you're like, I don't even remember saying anything.
I appreciate the effort. I appreciate that. But I'm like, the fact is, do you think that I think that you're not doing anything?
Well, but I care about you. I want the people listening to this podcast to think we're posting on the forums. I want them to. Somebody said the other day, I don't even know if you guys read this. And I was like, well, yeah, we read it like every 8 hours, you know.
Yeah, what's your actually, I did look at that last week when you told me about it. And I think what my average post per day is only 3. It seems a lot higher than that. But I guess if you
hang on. That's days that you don't. Yeah. It's like.
I'm like 3 a day.
I think it's 4, actually. But remember that, right? There are only 4 times that he's going to respond in a day. So if it's a lame question and you don't get an answer, no. But actually, it's much higher than that on some days. And there are days that we take off, right? Like Christmas and stuff that bring the average down. I wasn't posting.
I'm going to go in and change the number of posts in your profile.
No, don't do that. That's a cool shot of the lobby on the front page. The back from the long weekend post.
That was another good one yesterday when you're like, you know, you should really change the banner on the homepage.
I know, and I was like, well, I just changed the banner on the homepage. And I was like, okay, then. I should look at our homepage more often.
Anyway, anywho.
Anyway, anywho. I don't understand the anywho comment, but also there was a very fun picture of Matt. You have to work out which one Matt is on the blog. Crew fun. Yeah, on the blog. Anyway.
Which one is he?
All right. Which one is Matt?
Ping me in.
He's the one
chat
looking
right
like
now.
He's having the most amount of fun.
Really?
Yeah. Go Cubs.
Yeah, that's it. Ah, so that comes. That's why you laughed hard when I said go Cubs. All right.
Yeah, I thought that's what you were referring to.
Yeah, no, I didn't realize. Cool.
I thought you were being very cryptic. Intelligent. I have to really pay attention when I'm talking to you because, you know, you have a very dry sense of humor and can get past me sometimes.
Okay, well, I got to go post in the forums.
Because I don't believe the last line of your post is, we're really, really excited about the new term.
That's...
Oh, dear. There's a drinking game on me mentioning lattes and you saying really, really excited. You know that, don't you? There are people getting drunk right now.
Yes, I think so. I'm really excited. All They're getting drunk. Well, that's up. I'm going to get working because I've got... Man, I'm just like... I am freaking out a little bit,
You're
but
so
all
mellow.
Needs to be done. But I'm, that's because I'm wigging out on
You're
the
mellow.
Inside.
All right.
Well, everyone, thanks for listening to this week's DOD, as always. Be sure to post any questions you have in the forums, and we'll talk to you guys.
Get one of John's four emails a day. Sorry, go on.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is copyright FX PhD.